We're back. It's 180. My name's Carl Claussen. Everything we're doing here is to get you aimed toward the bounty of God, His goodness. And, really all we can do is point the way. The fact is, God does all the work. With me today, George Koch. He's actually in studio with me. We call this what we believe. Is that what we call it? We call it what we believe and why. That's exactly right.
That's
we've just been doing this for weeks now. That's all. George, good to have you with me in studio today.
Carl, it's a delight to be here.
Yeah, it's great. We're going to talk about a covenant that's a favorite of mine, the Abrahamic covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason it's so near and dear to me, and then I'm going to let you wax, is that this is, he's the father of all who believe, according to Romans.
That's right.
Therefore, this is the template for authentic faith in covenant.
This is
Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right.
Tell us the nuances.
Well, here's the great challenge, is very often the Old Testament is caricatured, I use that term intentionally, as being, that was the law, that was then, we don't follow the law anymore, we're in a new covenant, a covenant of grace, and it really doesn't apply. But that's a very serious misunderstanding and misstatement contained there.
And it blows away 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture is inspired by God.
There you go.
Okay, right. Keep going.
So the Abrahamic covenant, that's the covenant that God made with Abraham. That really is a template for even the faith that we as Christians have. And if you look at it, its structure and its content is the same. It's the picture, it's the template, if you would, the stereotype on which other types are built.
Ah, that's so exciting. Okay, for the person that's out there going, Abrahamic covenant, let's get the brass tacks here, if we can, George. Who is Abraham? Why was there a covenant, and what does it mean for us today? There, I'm going to hit it that
way. Abraham came some 400 years before Moses. This is in Genesis 15, so this is way back at the beginning. And this is the first really central covenant established in Scripture, and which it says in Scripture is eternal. It doesn't say it lasts for a little while and then goes away. It says it's eternal.
right.
And in fact, I want to throw a curveball to you here.
Okay.
And that is that if Jesus truly is the second person of the Godhead, that is, if Jesus truly is God, and all of the world was made, as it says in the first chapter of John, through him,
yes,
then Jesus was present when this covenant was made with Abraham.
And that's a powerful reality, isn't it?
It is.
And we know from the Genesis account, because the Godhead said, let us make
man in our image.
So Jesus was there.
He was there.
What an amazing thing. Okay. So we got who Abraham is, generally speaking.
Generally speaking.
Old dude.
Yep.
And yet.
Like us, Carl.
But God wasn't done with him, just like us. So God gave this covenant. What's a covenant?
A covenant isn't a contract. A covenant isn't a will. It's often, again, caricatured that way. But covenant is something much deeper and much more intimate, and I would say more like a marriage relationship. Mm. And I don't mean a marriage relationship where the woman is chattel, that she's owned by her husband. Not that kind of covenant, not that kind of relationship, but one which is intimate and deep and abiding and shares a common unity, a common desire, a common life. That's covenant.
There's a Hebrew word that I love, hesed. It's the covenantal word of love. It's this umbrella. It's this long, it's the long-running love of God. God has covenant love in his DNA for us, doesn't he?
And that's the DNA in which we were created, made after his image.
Okay, what are the implications of the Abrahamic covenant today? We know he came 400 years before Moses. I guess the question that we love to make practical is, so what?
Well, let's just look at the structure of the covenant in Genesis 15 that God makes with Abraham, because here's what's important. God initiated it. God is the one who started this covenant. He promises Abraham innumerable descendants. Abraham trusts that God will do what it is that he promised to him.
Yeah.
And God credits Abraham with righteousness for that trust.
Now, the amazing thing about this trust that I love to highlight, and George, I know you do, is that he believed God for something that was beyond his apprehension. He couldn't have dreamt it up. And it was beyond his personal capacity.
Beyond his capacity, right.
He couldn't do it.
Right.
Any faith that we can do isn't Abrahamic faith, is it?
No, of course not. The whole power of covenant comes from the simple fact that one party to that covenant is God Almighty.
Yeah, see, that's so exciting. Okay, keep going. You got some great nuggets here.
Well, here's the thing, and Paul talks about this. God credits Abraham with righteousness for his trust. And we hear that and we say, what an odd equivalence. Why would righteousness be credited because I trusted? And that comes because we normally think of righteousness as moral excellence, as making ethical decisions, moral decisions, and then we're righteous. But that's really not the meaning of the word righteousness. Righteousness means more to be in harmony with God's will.
Awesome.
To be in harmony with his intentions for us, his intentions in the world. To do as Jesus said, I just look to see what the Father is doing and I follow him. He's in harmony with what the Father does.
The beautiful thing, I'm talking with George Koch, Dr. George Koch, author of What We Believe and Why. Get a copy, whatwebelieveandwhy.com. The interesting thing about the Abrahamic covenant and this picture of faith that's referred to again in Romans is that the only thing Abraham did in essence is he just nodded in agreement with God and said, I'm yours.
Right.
That's his greatest effort he could bring to the table.
He realized and said out loud, acknowledged, you can do what you promised to do. I believe it. And therefore, I'm going along. I'm a part of this. I choose to belong to this covenant. I'm going with you. That going with you, that trust, that is to be in harmony with the covenant that God offered. That's why it's called righteousness, because it's in harmony.
Did God reveal anything to Abraham, George, that caused him to go, oh, Nelly, I got to throw everything I got in behind this?
Well, he promised him success and future descendants and that nations would come from him. An extraordinary promise for a guy out in the middle of nowhere without great wealth. He's not a king.
Yes.
He's just a guy.
And people might say, well, that isn't what Jesus promised, au contraire, when he sat down with a woman at the well or when he spoke to a centurion or whatever. The fact is, Jesus made extravagant promises of abundant life, didn't he?
He did, so much that people were offended by it very often.
That he would dare say it.
That he would dare. Why did he have the right to promise any of that, including, for that matter, forgiveness? But he did, boldly.
Oh, this is so much fun. Look how fast time goes by. This is, we call this What We Believe and Why. Get a copy of George's book, whatwebelieveandwhy.com is the address. Thanks for being with me, my friend.
Carl, my joy, always.
180, your life, a new covenantal direction.